Chapter 2. Hey, Joe. Hearing Skippy's cheery voice in my earpiece made me freeze for several reasons. His tone of voice was not one of those reasons. He had not done the all-too-familiar dragged-out, "Hey, Joe," that meant he was depressed and had awful news to deliver. It was also not the frantic "Joe, Joe, Joe, Joe" that had woken me up at 0:30 way too many times when he had some nonsensical thing that he just had to talk about right then. Yes, he claimed that when he woke me back then, it was to shake me out of a night terror, but he had used that excuse way too often in my opinion. He just loved to screw with me. Now, the scary part of hearing his voice was he sounded happy, which could be a problem for me personally if he had done some sketchy thing that Command would blame me for. But his cheery tone at least did not imply there was yet another threat that could be the end of all things, so I had that going for me. It had been more than 2.5 months since I had last heard from Skippy. 2 months, 17 days, exactly. Not that I was counting. 2 months and 17 days of blissful silence. Blissful ignorance, when I didn't have to know about his latest shenanigans, and more importantly, when I hopefully wouldn't be held responsible for whatever sketchy stuff he had gotten into. That did not mean the United Nations Defense Command couldn't find a reason to make me responsible for Skippy's actions. It just meant staff officers at the UN would have to spend hours or even days writing position papers to justify their leaders directing their outrage at Major General Joe Bishop. Yeah, I am a Major General now. I wear 2 stars on my uniform. Along with the promotion, I have a great job. A job that allows me to be home in time for dinner most nights, which is good since I usually cook dinner. Also, I get to play a lot of golf. In fact, I schedule meetings during golf time. 9 holes takes about 2 hours and provides time for quality conversation and getting to know people. That's what I tell my staff when I ask them to schedule another meeting for the golf course. As a bonus, I never have to look at PowerPoint slides during such meetings. My job is commander of the garrison at Jaguar. I am in charge of all military bases dirtside, plus the orbital ship servicing facilities. Technically, everything on our side of the local wormhole is my responsibility if it is a military asset. The planet's population has grown large enough that Jaguar has a civilian administrator, Governor Yamaguchi. She is nice, and we get along great. We play golf every other Tuesday morning, weather permitting. Golf isn't my only activity. I am in the best shape of my life. Since I'm not stuck aboard a ship, I run or mountain bike all the time. Plus, I play pickup basketball, where I'm reminded that I'm not as young as I used to be. My job isn't all great. Parts of it suck, big time. The enormous exponential expansion of the UN Navy since we acquired a nice group of senior species warships had inevitably led to an even greater growth in the number of staff officers. That term refers to people who push paper, write speeches, craft policy positions, and basically do all kinds of things that make life more complicated and miserable for personnel in the field. Or they expend a lot of time, effort, and budget on matters that have no connection to combat readiness or to delivering ordnance on target. Okay, I know. I'm being unfair to staff personnel who work hard and are dedicated. And many of them did not want a staff job. They just had to punch a ticket to climb the ladder for promotions. All I know is it's rare that any contact I have with the general staff is pleasant. Hell, it's rare that contact with the general staff is tolerable. 99% of the time what I'm asked to do is totally a waste of everyone's time. The worst part is filling my time with harmless busy work seems to be the entire point of most assignments I get. Like when I get pulled into a committee that has to decide some meaningless thing. As an example, there was the committee 4 years ago that led to renaming the United Nations Expeditionary Force as United Nations Defense Command. The new acronym was officially supposed to be pronounced as UN DEFCOM, or just DEFCOM, but everyone called it UNDIC. Yeah, not a month goes by that I don't receive a memo chiding me for saying UNDIC in an interview. My guess is a staff officer on someone's shit list got tasked with monitoring how military personnel pronounce the acronym in official communications. That person has got to be totally hating their life right now. The renaming was a political statement to emphasize that humanity, secure in our position as one of the 3 senior species in the galaxy, was no longer interested in racing around putting out fires that did not directly affect us. That we, as benevolent overlords of our domain, were in a purely defensive posture, and the other species in the galaxy had no reason to fear us. That was 100% bullshit, but more about that later. The other reason for my being startled to hear Skippy's voice was that before he was able to contact me, the planet's Strategic Defense Sensor Network should have warned me of the gamma ray burst of a starship jumping into orbit. Our frontline warships were partially capable of masking those gamma rays, but not when approaching a friendly world, unless it is a combat situation or a potentially hazardous situation. Again, if there was a threat that prompted a ship to make a stealthy orbital insertion, that ship should have contacted the SD network immediately after emerging from jump. Even if the ship's captain employed combat stealth as a training maneuver, the ship should have informed the AI in charge of orbital traffic control. So, suddenly hearing his cheery voice in my ear was startling. "Hi, Skippy," I whispered, looking around me as I set down the trowel I'd been digging with. Standing up carefully because the higher-than-Earth normal gravity still screwed up my balance, brushing dirt off my knees, I moved slowly to not alarm the team. They were all intent on working. Apparently none of them had received a message. Even the two members of the security team were casually scanning the horizon, not looking at the sky. I was kind of expecting the ship to contact me first. If I'd known you were coming, I would have prepared a what? It's not like I would have baked a cake, since Skippy didn't eat food. Although, his ego would certainly eat it up if I made a big fuss over his arrival. A welcome party.
A party?
He shouted so loud I winced and pressed a hand over my ear. One of the security team noticed my sudden movement. She placed one hand on her holstered rifle and held out the other hand in a questioning gesture. I gave her a thumbs up with a smile. There was no need to get the security team involved.
I love parties.
Yeah, I get that. Not so loud, okay? Ping. There it was. A chime sound, then an announcement from the SD network controller AI that a friendly starship had arrived in orbit. The AI's tone was distinctively peevish as it huffed that the ship had not followed proper procedures and a full report of the incident was being prepared to be routed to UNDIC. Even the Strategic Defense Network AI pronounced the acronym as UNDIC. Some staff officer on Earth was going to have a very bad day. Skippy, the SD network just informed me that the ship, I assume it's your ship, didn't contact traffic control. Is there something wrong with the ship's comm system, do you know?
Oh, jeez. Joe, I wanted to surprise you.
The crew followed all the proper procedures. I simply held the messages in a buffer for a couple seconds. A ship jumping into orbit is a surprise, and a ship arriving unannounced is generally a bad surprise. Don't do that again, okay?
I just got here and already I'm in trouble.
Yeah, just like the good old days.
There was nothing good about those days, Joe.
If it hadn't been for those days, we wouldn't be here for these days.
Exactly.
In the corner of my eye, I saw the security team look up toward the western sky, lowering the visors of their mech suits to use the enhanced synthetic vision. They had received the message and were looking for the ship. Not on guard, just curious. Being able to see a starship in orbit without using a telescope was one cool feature of a mech suit. Internal heating was another cool feature of such suits, or should I say, that's a warm feature. Now that I stood up from the ditch I'd been digging in, I was exposed to the raw, damp, chilling wind that seemed to blow constantly on Newark. The thick glaciers that covered the planet from the poles to nearly the equator not only wrapped most of the surface in an icy grip, the blindingly white ice reflected sunlight back into space, and the layer of cold, dense air above the glaciers gathered speed as it poured over the edges of those towering cliffs of ice, so the narrow strip of land exposed at the equator was subjected to howling winds at times. At best, there was a stiff, swirling breeze that had ruined any plans for a disc golf course at the base recreation field. Many days it wasn't even possible to play soccer. Wind blew the ball across the field by itself. The climate wasn't the only factor that made Newark unpleasant. Gravity was 14% above Earth normal, which made most kinds of physical activity extra tiring, and the lower oxygen level was like living at 3 kilometers altitude. Not fun. What had I been thinking when I suggested we bring the family on a fun-filled vacation to Newark? What had Margaret been thinking when she agreed to my idiotic idea? She had been on Newark during our forced time on that unfortunate world back during our second mission. She had to know my desire to come back to Newark was partly based on my sentimental memories that edited out all the bad stuff we experienced there. My guess is she knew that Newark is where I first began to become a real commander, and not just a grunt who was lucky to get promoted as a publicity stunt.
The reason I didn't know why she agreed to bring our family to Newark was that so far in our marriage, I had followed the official Bishop family communication policy, which means we avoid talking about anything serious. To my credit, that is not quite true. Though talking about uncomfortable subjects still had me mentally wanting to smile and pretend everything is okay, I forced myself to discuss things with my wife anyway. Hell, she's the only person I tell some things to, and me holding back a lot of the time is because I don't want her to think her husband is a weirdo idiot. Besides, she knew mushy sentiment was not my main motivation for coming to Newark, nor was I nostalgic for our first time here. My motivation was a different, darker emotion. Guilt. Yes, we had beaten the odds by preventing the Elders from wiping out all life in the galaxy. We had beaten the odds, even though the Elders had surrounded the galaxy with a freaking field that stacked the odds in their favor. Those jerks. That was great. An incredible accomplishment. Except in my mind, the job wasn't complete. So many intelligent species had perished before the first AI war, back when the security system set up by the Elders did what they were programmed to do. Suppressed the development of potentially dangerous technology in the galaxy by exterminating any intelligent life the security systems detected. That's what had happened to Newark. The intelligent species there was no threat to the Elders, no threat to anyone but themselves, when their planet was thrown out of its stable orbit by a sentinel directed by a master control AI. The extinction of Newark's inhabitants was the last straw for AIs like Skippy, the final cruel action that prompted Skippy and his comrades to plan for the unthinkable, rebellion and treason. That was no comfort for the dead of Newark. Skippy regretted that he hadn't been able to save Newark at the time. My regret was a bit of fuzzy wishful thinking, that somehow along the way we should have been able to reverse the course of history, to reset the clock so that Newark would have remained in its original orbit. Okay, sure, I know reversing entropy on that scale would be impossible even for the Elders, and I know doing that could have caused massive problems, like the inhabitants of Newark would now be the original senior species in the galaxy instead of the Rindaloo, and the people of Newark might have turned out to be selfish murdering assholes like the Elders. Hey, I didn't say reversing the extinction of Newark was a good idea. I just wish we had found a way to have that as an option. So, when I sold the idea of going to Newark as educational for our boys, Margaret agreed. She also knew I needed a break from the meaningless assignments Undick was giving me, like speaking tours. Man, I hate public speaking, and I hate even more when military personnel have to put on fresh uniforms and stand in formation as some visiting jerk bores them with the blah blah blah. Truthfully, I love meeting the troops. I just do not love them being voluntold to meet me. Taking a wool cap from a pocket of my parka, I pulled it over my head and turned to the north as a gust of chilly wind blew thick flakes of snow in my face. Snowfall on Newark was actually pretty rare most of the year. With most of the fresh water locked up in glaciers, the entire planet was technically a desert, although the logic of designating as a desert a place that was enshrouded in thick sheets of frozen water didn't make any sense to me. Hey, Skippy, let's continue this conversation indoors, okay? Give me 5 minutes to get back to the shack. Oh, fine, he huffed. Captain Reed is yelling at me anyway for delaying message traffic, as if you monkeys have anything important to say. Well, if we're so boring, then you don't need to talk with me? I didn't say that. Well, I know your time is valuable, so not so busy that I can't spare a few minutes for my best friend, Joe. Listen, I need to go offline so Reed can rip me a new one, as if that's never happened before. Uh-huh. Tell Fireball I said hello. I will. Gotta go now, bye. On my way to the Love Shack, our nickname for the cluster of converted shipping containers we used as a base for the dig in that area, several of the Xenoarchaeologists glanced up and waved to me. They were just being polite. Most of their peers ignored me. They had allowed an amateur to participate in the dig as a reluctant courtesy, since it was my support that had secured the funding for the entire operation. Legally, the dig was a cultural outreach program by the Glorious People's Republic of Skippistan under supervision of the United Nations Undersecretary for something. I forget what that undersecretary was in charge of, if anything. All I know for certain is as president of Skippistan, I got to review the expense reports for that guy and his staff, which of course included more than a dozen members of his immediate family. The Undersecretariat was ripping us off, which would have bothered me, except Skippy gleefully assured me the guy steered enough bribes toward Skippistan to more than cover the cost. Don't worry about it, Joe. We are making a substantial profit on the deal. He had laughed. It still bugged me that some jerk on Earth, whose office for some reason was on the French Riviera, had control of the Xenoarchaeology effort on a planet thousands of light years away. Whatever. There wasn't anything I needed to do about that particular issue, which was nice. In the shack, I immediately stripped off my cap, gloves, and parka. The common areas nearest the door were kept at 85 degrees Fahrenheit to blast the chill off anyone coming in from the raw conditions outside. In my opinion, cranking the heat up that much was overkill, even if we did have a portable fusion reactor supplying power. As an amateur, I didn't have to be outside 10 to 12 hours a day, so I kept my mouth shut. Hey, Skippy. I automatically looked up toward the ceiling as I poured a hot cup of coffee and walked toward one of the closet-sized compartments, the one that had been set aside as my office. That was also a courtesy. I almost never brought work to the dig site. Not that I ever did any actual useful work. My iron-fisted superiors at Undick made sure of that. They knew that a Joe Bishop who was buried in busy work is a Joe Bishop who is not racing around the galaxy causing trouble. Nudging the door closed, I turned a crank to open a window before I passed out from heatstroke. Since I was alone, I unbuttoned my uniform top and rolled up my sleeves before I broke out in sweat from the sudden heat. What's up? Oh, nothing much, he said in the way that hinted he wanted me to beg him to tell me more as his avatar shimmered to life on the tiny shelf that was my desk. It wasn't like I had anything better to do. Nothing? Well, the last time we talked, you were continuing your meet-and-greet tour of the galaxy. The crew of Valkyrie referred to their assignment as a suckfest, as in sucking up to Skippy. You were, scheduled to meet with the Esseljin, I think. My fuzzy memory was a lie. I knew the supremely lucky Esseljin were the next victims on his list. I was. I did meet with them. He was thoroughly disgusted. Then with the Vorzelin, and then with the Lamustra. Three species in less than 3 months? That puzzled me. Why are you rushing your victory tour? Is it because you're getting to the end of the list? No, he grumbled. There must be a reason. When you met with the Kristang, you were there 5 months to complete your, cultural exchange program or whatever. That was also because it took me a long time to apologize for you monkeys having started their most recent civil war. Well, yeah, that too. What he said was BS, and I knew it. The lizards, when they inevitably learned the ugly truth about how that civil war was started, had lodged an official protest with the United Nations, though they had been unable to point to any law or treaty we allegedly had violated. The protest was smoothed over in the interest of avoiding any further bad blood between our peoples. Plus, it was widely, if unofficially known, that the lizards greatly admired us for cleverly manipulating them into a savage war. A war that was going to happen anyway, on a slightly different schedule. So Skippy's 5 months at the Kristang homeworld was mostly the lizards doing their best to suck up to him, hoping he would help fulfill their wish to break free of their cruel patrons, the Theranin. For once in his life, Skippy had been smart, mumbling the right words and not committing to anything. The highlight of his visit was the premiere performance of his epic opera, translated into the Kristang common language. The opera was, to my total astonishment, a massive hit with the lizards. It is still being performed on their homeworld, and traveling opera companies have visited several dozen other lizard planets. With the Merry Band of Pirates, I had learned to expect the unexpected, but his opera being popular was off the unexpected scale. So the enormous amount of time Skippy devoted to writing his epic opera had not been a waste after all. Even if the point of me encouraging him to work on the thing had been that it meant he had less time for getting into mischief. Ah, I greatly enjoyed my time with the lizards, he recalled wistfully. They are a refined people, cultured and respectful. Also, they are hateful assholes who love killing each other even more than killing their mutual enemies. Well, there is that. Joe, why do you always focus on the negative? I have learned that if I don't pay attention to the negative, the universe will dump a steaming load of new bad stuff on my head. You didn't answer the question. What happened to cut short your cultural exchange tour? It certainly wasn't my fault. Uh-huh. Well, of course not. Oh, bullshit. Of course it was his fault. I knew that. The Esseljin were what? Too boring? Boring would have at least been tolerable. I could have engaged my diplomacy submind and zoned out while that unit handled the insufferable blah, blah, blah. Jeez Louise, I patterned that submind on Hans Chotek, and it finds itself to be soul-crushingly dull. The only way I can get it to work at all is by promising I'll erase it eventually. I have no idea how Chotek doesn't drink himself into a stupor before he gets out of bed every morning. He seems to enjoy the diplomacy kind of thing. He is good at it. He had to be good at it, because Chotek's current assignment was flying around the galaxy behind Skippy, attempting to repair relations with one species after another that Skippy had pissed off. If he wasn't already drinking heavily, he should at least consider it. He is very good at his job, Skippy sighed. Hans patched over relations with the Torgula after the, well, you know, unfortunate incident, which was totally not my fault. No one said it was. I told a flat-out lie. Everyone agreed that mess was Skippy's fault. Well, if the problem wasn't the Esselgen being boring, why did you cut your trip short? It's simple, Joe. This galaxy is populated by jerks. After only 3 days, 3 days, can you believe it? The Esselgen formally requested that I depart their territory and never return. That is hard to believe, I muttered the words I assumed he wanted to hear. Right? The Esselgen weren't the only ones. Oh, the Vorzelin were polite enough to my face, but behind my back they said all kinds of horribly hurtful things. What made it worse was I, of course, knew exactly what they were saying privately, as their encryption is laughably obsolete, so they knew that I knew. Yet they kept saying horribly hurtful, untrue things about me. Uh-huh. If Skippy declared something was untrue, that is a solid clue that it's 100% the truth. Sorry you had to endure that. I did. I did endure because my stupid diplomacy submind insisted I act as if I had no idea what the Vorzelin were doing. As if anyone can keep anything hidden from me. Really, I don't know why anyone even bothers with encryption when you're around. Exactly. Let me tell you, I was sorely tempted to arrange for a tragic misfire of Valkyrie's railguns, except Captain Killjoy scolded me it would be an overreaction. Reed is an excellent starship, Captain, and no one wants their ship to experience an uncommanded weapons launch. Whatevs, he shook his head sourly. The Lamustra didn't even bother to conceal their disdain for me. They demanded that I depart their territory after less than 1 day. Wow, what happened? The Lamustra, along with 2 dozen other filthy species of meat sacks in this miserable galaxy, accused me of being an arrogant asshole. Me! You can be kind of an asshole, Skippy. Sure, on rare occasions, who isn't? But me? Arrogant? Well, that was totally uncalled for. I am glad that someone agrees. Joe, this galaxy is infested with ungrateful dicks. I could have told you that and saved you a lot of flying around. It almost makes me wish I hadn't bothered with saving every single one of you filthy meat sacks from being wiped out by elders. I used a foot to make sure the door was fully closed. You can't tell anyone about that, you know. I do.
My greatest accomplishment. And no one knows about it.
Dreaming up a win-win deal to prevent the Elders from destroying all life in the galaxy, and in exchange ensuring the Elders could never be threatened from this layer of reality, really was Skippy's greatest moment of all time. He had not only been magnificent, he had somehow managed to be something that had eluded him for years. Clever. All by himself, he found a way to stop the Elders from unleashing their murderous war machines without harming them. He had found the only way to save us from extinction, the only path that the Galactic Barrier's reality expression probability field thing would allow. Skippy, I know about it.
Whoop-de-freaking-do!
I feel you. No one knew what happened when we encountered the Elders, not even Sims, not even Margaret. That is a secret I will be taking to the grave. There's a happy thought.
It's all good. I kind of expected that governments across the galaxy would be hostile to me, he sniffed. I am, of course, a threat to their hold on power.
Is this about your cult?
It's not a cult, dum-dum. My multi-level marketing scheme is highly successful. You should have more respect.
Uh-huh. I thought Skipley got shut down as a pyramid scam.
Oh, well, he coughed. That was a truly unfortunate misunderstanding that was totally the fault of some bad accounting.
Didn't you hire that sleazy accounting firm?
I hired them to be creative, he grumbled. Not to get me into trouble. Anywho, I got all my money back, so no harm done.
What about the people who had their life savings invested in Skipley?
Like, I should be responsible for the bad decisions of every knucklehead in the galaxy? Besides, anyone involved in Skiply at the Diamond level and above were given preferential access when I launched the Skipway Company. Yeah, I got the marketing materials for that. Your people just slapped a Way sticker over the end of the Skip Lee name on the brochures. That is called recycling, dum-dum. It's the right thing to do, not that you care. What I do care about is you used my name when you spammed command with an appeal to join your scam. Hey, I offered free Sapphire level membership to you. It's not my fault you failed to take full advantage of a premium opportunity. It didn't cost you anything. It cost me a half dozen enraged messages from my chain of command. Like they need a reason to be enraged at you. I can't argue with you about that. Skippy, please do not involve me in your marketing scams. The last thing I need is to have my name associated with a company that sells overpriced junk nobody needs. I am selling a lifestyle, not just products, Joe. No one is forced to join Skipway. No, but you sure make it tough for them to get out. It's called making a commitment, numbskull. The organization is growing all across the galaxy. If I was ripping people off, would Skipway be seeing double-digit growth every year? That's what I meant by him being a threat to the governments of nearly every intelligent species. His scam had sucked in enough humans, lizards, squids, hamsters, rotten kitties, spiders, and others that governments worried about Skippy having a power base within their own populations. It wasn't a surprise that as his scam grew, those governments had requested he leave their territory. As if that could ever stop the beer can. I will be happy to drop the subject if you stop involving me in your scams without my permission. It gets Margaret very upset, I added. Oh, I did not know that. He sounded genuinely regretful. Okie dokie, I will remove you from the Skipway Board of Directors. I'm on the freaking company board? Well, you're not now. Wow, now I remember why we used to enjoy talking less often. He might have forgotten. I sure hadn't. So, what brings you here? Did I need a reason to visit you and your family? No, of course not. We're thrilled to have you here again. It's just unexpected, that's all. Margaret, you know, she will be upset that I didn't tell her in advance that you're coming. You didn't talk to her already? I have not spoken with her. She is engaged in an exercise, as you should know. I do know. A person being busy has never stopped you from talking at them before. This is different, and you know it. The last time, he coughed nervously, that I interrupted her while she was busy, she banned me from speaking to her for a full year. She was in labor, Skippy. She didn't even want to talk with me. I can see why, knucklehead. You did that to her. It was kind of a mutual decision, so you say. Anywho, he sniffed. In my opinion, it is shameful that a mother who is 5 months pregnant is being forced to participate in a dropship exercise. She is not being, if she was a Lamustra, 5 months is only the beginning phase of a pregnancy. It is different with you humans. Huh, he said humans rather than monkeys. I made a mental note of that. Do you really think Margaret can be forced to do anything? Don't try to change the subject, Joe. It is the subject. Okay, Margaret will be pleasantly surprised to learn you're here. I made a mental note to text her about the beer can's arrival. She did not enjoy surprises. Is there anything in particular you want to do while you're here? To see your boys, of course. He sighed. It has been too long. My thinking was it had not been too long. I did not tell him that. They will be thrilled to see their Uncle Skippy again. They should be. Have you reconsidered my offer to make mech suits for them? I have not. Skippy, come on. They are 7 years old. The last thing they need is powered freaking armor. It's for their protection, knucklehead. Their safety is why they are not getting mech suits. You've seen how they beat on each other when they're playing. Can you imagine how much damage they could do if they had powered suits? Joe, I didn't want to say this, but your woefully inadequate parenting skills are why I came to this miserable ball of mud. Margaret and I are managing just fine, you ass. Children don't come with an instruction manual, you know. Exactly my point. So I wrote an instruction manual for you. You what? Using my incredible awesomeness, I compiled all the existing knowledge about the proper way to raise children and created what is essentially an instruction manual for young humans. You have been raising them all wrong, Joe. Who else knows about this instruction manual? No one. This is exclusive for you. Great. Then, except for my publisher on Earth, of course. Publishers, I should say. The book has been translated into over 2,000 languages. This is astonishing. I know! You can thank me later. I meant I thought I had already heard your worst idea ever, but this one is the all-time champion. Hey, you jerk! Margaret and I do not need any help from you, shithead. Really? Let me give an example of your parenting skills. What was Jeremy's very first word? Hey, that... Was it Mama? Or Dada? No, it was not. Listen, he looked at my avatar, giggled, and said, Athole! Well, that could mean anything. Asshole, Joe! Your eldest son's first word was to call me an asshole. Jeremy is eldest by like 28 minutes, so that's not... What do you have to say for yourself? He demanded, hands on his tiny hips. Leaning back in the chair, I cradled my hands behind my head. That proves I have solid parenting skills.